All right. The message, the title of this morning's message is An Abundant Joy from a Generous God. About 2 weeks ago, I was up late at night and I was watching some PBS show, and it was some type of nature-related show, and they had provided all this coverage of deep in the Pacific Ocean. I don't recall exactly where it was, but they would bring these cameras to the very bottom of the ocean, and they would film the marine life down there. And they would show some very unusual creatures that are there, schools of fish that, as they swim together, they actually act as a defense shield against a predatory fish. All these really amazing structures and formations that are down in the sea. And I was kind of watching that, and it was just really amazing. At the same time, being someone who loves seafood, I was wondering whether those things you can actually eat and how they would taste. And of course, if you deep fry it, everything tastes good. I just watching that, and I was just really amazed at God's creation and his handiwork. And just kind of backing up a little bit, and you think about God's wonderful works by his hand and what he's created, you just can't help but be in awe. When you think about his creation in nature, it really should just kind of make you go, wow. I said this earlier before, but like even about the birth and eventual delivery of the baby. It's like amazing. How does that baby turn like 180 degrees in the womb at the right time just before it comes out? You know, it doesn't have a GPS or anything like that to say, hey, you know, let's turn this way at this time. But somehow God has just kind of worked it out. And I think about that, I'm like, wow, mind blown. You know, or you think about other things that God's created. You think about the universe and, you know, we have these planets that orbit in the way that they're orbiting, and they've never collided. Have you ever thought about that? How does that work? It's because God is wonderful, he's awesome, he's amazing, and he knows what he's doing. And again, that's just kind of made me go, wow. I'm also just kind of amazed that even some what we call communicable attributes, things of that are his, that he's allowed us to have, such as love and grace and mercy, justice and wisdom. All these qualities is God that's been given to us. It's qualities he has, but he allows us to have them too. And when I think about those things, wow, kind of made in the image of God, and he's allowed us to have these qualities that he has. And again, just kind of these wow thoughts that come to my mind. But I think the greatest gift that he's given to us is certainly his son, Jesus Christ. The greatest gift that he's ever given to us is his son, Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm just going to have two real simple points, and I think they're probably familiar to us, but given the season in which we're in and all the busyness that we have, I want to just kind of bring these two points to our memory and to remind us and to allow the Spirit to work as we kind of ponder these familiar points here. First point this morning is rejoice in the gift who is Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the gift who is Jesus Christ. Again, this is a really busy season. I know for myself, even in church, with all the programs that are going on and all activities and responsibilities that we have planned for this particular season. We just came off of Thanksgiving, and now it's Christmas and all the skits and stuff like that. And then, you know, already thinking about next year and preparing for next year. Next week, we have the CMC conference. So even here in church, it's pretty busy. A lot's going on. I'm sure it's the same with in your lives too. There may be work going on, final projects, final presentation. Things are due by the end of the year. And then on top of that, you have Christmas shopping, you have Christmas giving, you have parties, you have dinners, you have celebrations, and all these things are going on. And so it's just kind of really busy season. And so I don't want us to lose focus or to lose attention on what or who rather matters most in all the shuffle that's going on. So this morning, again, just want to remind us of God's greatest gift, and that is Jesus Christ. When we think about the narrative of Jesus' birth, we often fall to Matthew and to Luke, and it tells these stories of Joseph and Mary. So I'm just kind of thinking of the skit there. Joseph and Mary, maybe Abner and Sarah, of shepherds and of magi and, you know, stars and things like that. And so Matthew and Luke kind of cover that. But every year when Christmas comes around, I like to read John 1, because John here takes the beginning of the Christ story in a whole different way. He kind of takes it, what I call kind of full nuclear. Rather than painting this nice story, this nice narrative, he just goes, boom, here it is. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 1. I have it on the screen too, and I'll go ahead and read this for us. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh, God incarnate, and dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us. And we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. God's gift is Christ coming in the flesh, in the person. Certainly God could have just remained as he is, unseen, except for some, you know, unusual occurrences, perhaps coming as an angel or a miraculous burning bush or some other form. Certainly couldn't have done that. But instead, he wanted to make himself known. So he came in the flesh, and Jesus came in the flesh. What a gift that is to all humanity. Today in my Sunday school class, we were talking about this verse here and this passage in John, and we think about, wow, just the amazing grace, the amazing love that God has, that he would do this. Because God is fully complete, totally satisfied, totally all together, is not insufficient in any way, and yet he does this for us. What a powerful, wonderful, profound love and grace that he has for us to make himself known, to come in the flesh. And I know, I think we probably take that for granted. We've probably heard the Christmas story a lot. We know about Jesus coming in the flesh and stuff like that. But maybe it just kind of flies over our head way too often. I think now that it is Christmas, is a perfect time for us to remember that God came in the flesh. And that has powerful meaning to it. Right, if he didn't, then things of the Old Testament would have just continued as they were. But yet, God came in the flesh. And also, just to recall and remind us of our Life Together series in Ephesians 1. If you have that, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I have it on the screen here. And I just kind of highlighted some of the verses of that opening statement from Paul, in which, if you read it, it's just one giant breath and one giant sentence. And he kind of unloads all these things about Jesus, about when we are, about what the qualities of Jesus, and when we have a relationship with Jesus, this is what we get. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We would be holy and blameless before him. We are adopted as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, and we were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow, what a list there. And I know when we read these things, we kind of process them and think about them, but the weight of every statement there has great meaning and has great reality to us too. These are the things that we receive. These are the things that we have. These are the things that we become because of Jesus Christ, because of his arrival, because of what he's done, because of his being and his person. We get all of this. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." And I just can't help but say, but this is grace. This is grace, that God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ, who was in the beginning, he was with God, he is God, he is involved in all creation. He leaves this omnipresence. He leaves his omnipresence to come in this limited flesh and to dwell among us. And in obedience, he becomes this bondservant. He leaves his throne to become a servant to us. He abandons everything for our sake. And so I can't help but say that we are rich beyond our wildest dreams. We are rich. We are abundantly rich because of God's grace, because of what Christ has. Something that we should have deep in our hearts, on the top of our minds, and it should resonate from us. This reality that we have Christ and all that comes with Jesus Christ. And that is grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. You know, when acknowledging the awesome gift of Jesus Christ, again, it should make us worship and it should make us rejoice. We should worship and rejoice at the very thought of Jesus and what he's done and who we have. In Matthew 2, there's the story of the Magi coming to bring gifts. We're familiar with it. It's Matthew 2 here and says, "When the Magi saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening the treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Now, I'm like a lot of you who have grown up at church, familiar with this story, familiar with the trek of the Magi and what they brought. But it wasn't recently until the Holy Spirit really just spoke to me about this one part and how the Magi responded. They fell to the ground and worshiped him. Now, you think about it, these Magi, they're dignified individuals. They're very smart people. They are probably holding some place in society and where they came. And they had treasures, they had riches, prestige, dignity, so on and so forth. And yet, when they recognize that Jesus is before them, they fall flat on their knees and to worship. And that just kind of hit me when the Spirit spoke. That this is how I should come before Christ in my worship. And that I should cast off my crown, set it aside, throw it away, because this is the King who sits on the throne. And so I hope that when we think about Christmas, even when we come to worship every Sunday, that we imagine this. That we see maybe Christ as a child, but yet we also see him as a king, however we may imagine him, but we are willing to cast off our crowns, lay flat before him in humility, and recognize that he is God Almighty, he is Jesus, and he is the Messiah. I hope that just the very thought of what the Magi did reminds us of our worship and how we will worship. And so the question I posed to you, as I've posed to myself, is what is my posture of worship in my heart? What is the posture that I am taking when I come to worship the Lord? Is it me, proud, you know, stiff back, arms crossed, and it's just me, and yeah, I got to go through this thing? But is it coming with the deepest humility, recognizing the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? And we come to worship with this deep, deep humility. I hope that is our attitude. I hope that's what we live out in this Christmas season. Hebrews 13:15 reads like this. "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is fruit of lips that give thanks to his name." Let me read that one more time. Hebrews 13:15. "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that gives thanks to his name." So right now, what I want you to do in your prayers, without any discussion, just kind of jump into it. I want you to praise and to pray. And if I get the next slide, please. And this is it. Simply choose one of those and then go back and forth. Jesus, you are what? And it could be a phrase, it could be a word, it could be a short sentence. And then ended on that, and the next person comes and says and responds the same way. Jesus, I praise you for being, or Jesus, you are, or Jesus, I thank you for this. Okay, and you just go back and forth, no conversation, only converse with the Lord and with each other through prayer. And just go back and forth, okay? If there's silence, that's totally cool. If the other person has something ready to go, then you just kind of jump in. But let's just kind of keep it going to have this continual praise on our lips, okay? And we're just going to give us like 2 minutes or so. So go, begin, pray.